With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In fact, if you take your, I'm not joking. You take your legally owned firearm, you follow all TSA guidelines, you come to New York City, you will be arrested and put in Rikers Island, the most violent jail in the country.
Welcome back to The Tax Show. We are your hosts,
Remington
and Chase. And today we have an amazing super special guest to add to our list of super special guests here. And this guest ran for governor of New York with the Libertarian Party. He is in a, every time I've heard him live, he has just been an incredible person to hear from and talk to. His mind moves a million miles an hour. I cannot wait to get to know him a little better today. And without further ado, welcome Larry Sharp.
Thank you for having me. I'm this super special guest that you spoke of. Yes, that's true. That's me.
You made him sound ADD. You're like, he's,
yes.
He thinks too fast.
He doesn't think too fast. He just is so quick on his feet. That was the one thing I've always taken away from all your interviews is you are so quick on your feet. Someone asks you a question. You're right there with something.
Because I'm going to tell you the truth. The reason why is because I've been running a lot, right? Not that I've been running for office a lot. I've only run twice. I'm running right now for governor of New York, and I ran 4 years ago for governor of New York again. But when I was running, I literally did all of my events, no notes, live
purpose.
This is the Marine Corps calls this scenario training, right? So the closer you get to actual combat in your training, the more you do it, the less you will fold under fire, which is why you find, you know, the cops at Uvalde who did not have that training, as soon as they received fire, ran. But Marines who receive fire stand and fight back, right? That's what you do. So I knew this, you know, kind of conceptually. So I knew that when I was first running in 2017, the first time I ran, nobody would care about me. Nobody would follow me. Nobody would pay any attention. So if I sucked really badly, nobody would notice. So I just did everything like that. And by the time the press began to care about me, I had already had 6 months to a year of practice, 6 months to a year of taking, you know, any phone call, 6 months to a year of taking live attacks and being yelled at and screamed at. So I'd already taken all of that. And now I've been doing it. I mean, I cross my state every year, all 62 counties every single year. So I've been doing this for about 5 years or so. So now I have 5 years of experience of running around a state doing live events. I've probably done 400 events, give or take, if I include my shows and debates and everything. And I do them all live with no notes. And when we talked for this show, I said, whatever, just, it's fine. Yes. So the key isn't that I'm so super smart. I mean, I am, but that isn't the key.
Don't get me wrong.
The key is do it a lot. That's really the key, right? Do it a lot until you get it, till you feel comfortable. And the more you do it, you'll just get better at it. It sounds silly, but it really is true. Practice, practice, practice.
So that reminds me. So I've got a buddy who's a very successful podcaster, and he was giving us advice for getting set up and everything. And he said, hey, look, the first year of this, you're just going to suck. So just acknowledge that and just do it anyways. And don't worry about not sucking too much because you will. I'm like, all right, we'll just jump into it. So I don't know if we've passed the suck part, but we definitely have passed the 1 year part.
Well, there's an old saying that says, good judgment comes from experience. Experience comes from poor judgment.
Yeah, you know, I can see that being far too true. Because
yes,
anytime you get into anything, it doesn't go well.
Correct. Yes. And the other thing is, there's another old saying, which I agree all the time. I bring about it often, which is the idea of it took her 10 years to become an overnight success. Right. So it takes you 10 years to become the overnight success because for 9 years, no one knew who you were.
Yeah.
Now, but you've been working for 9 years. Now, all of a sudden, you begin to explode, which is why in 2016, I came up with my 10-year plan for the party. 2016 is when I first got involved in the party. And I had a 10-year plan, and I'm now about 6 years in, got four left, so we can make something happen. So, yes, I have a 10-year plan also.
Cool. Awesome. How well have you been tracking on that plan?
Not well. 2020 was a disaster. 2020 was a disaster. So not great. But my goal was by 2026 to have, my goal was by 2024 to have won at least one electoral vote in a presidential candidate. And by 2026 to have at least one libertarian at the federal level. That was what I was working for from 2016 to 2026. We did not do well in 2020, which hurt a lot. Ballot access laws have been devastating me in New York State, which hurt us even more. So there have been a lot of setbacks, but I really believe if the Libertarian Party can in 2024 get at least one electoral vote, whether that's from Maine or we win Utah or whatever, I don't care. We win Wyoming. Just there's a piece of gold on that map that will support everybody else running in 2026. It's the best marketing we can have. Our biggest problem as a third party is not our candidates, is not our it's not our skill set. I mean, those are all issues too. We don't have enough of the candidates. We don't do enough stuff. So there's that too. But the biggest one is we're not seen as valid or real, right? We're seen as, you guys can't win. Why bother? You're crazy third party. You put a gold piece on that map. That map is shown thousands of times all the time. Here's what happened when Trump won or Trump lost or whatever is the thing. Look at what Biden did, blah, blah, blah. That's what's always shown. It's a piece of gold on a map. People go, what's that? What's that gold thing? Oh, that's right. That's the Libertarians. They're a real party. Yeah, they are. That then supports us for 2026. And now somebody now is going to be able to become a congressman or a senator or something. That was my plan. And I talked about it in 2016 even. Some of you may remember I tried to become the VP in 2016.
How'd that turn out for you?
I lost to Bill Weld by 31 votes. Not that I'm counting. Remington, so stop. I'm not counting. You're counting, Remington. Got me, okay? I didn't say anything. You said it, 31.
You got me.
Anyway,
you got me.
Not that I'm bothered by that at all, 31 votes. Not that I'm thinking about it at all, but no. But I lost by 31 votes to Bill Weld. It was almost a Johnson-Sharp ticket, but it became a Johnson-Weld ticket. Because one of the things I wanted to do was whoever was our VP, and I wanted that also in 2020, which is why I flirted with a run in 2020 as a VP, because Judge Jim Gray agreed with me. He said, you're right, Larry. The VP should literally move to one of the states and just sit there, whatever area we decide, and the VP just campaign there for 6 months. Mm. And the president can do all the other stuff, right, whatever's required for the president to run, but the VP just sits in one state. And we win that area or that district or that whatever. Like Nebraska and Maine chop up their electoral district. So we either be in one of those districts or in that state and focus there and go to every single diner, every single VFW, every single place to get that vote and to get gold on the map. And I thought that was going to be the answer for 2020. But sadly, most presidential candidates do not believe that. They think it's got to be a 50-state run. I'm not a big fan of that. I think we have to get gold on the map first, which will support the down ballot ticket, right? And the key is using the top of the ticket to support the bottom of the ticket, right? And in 2018, I actually won ballot access for New York State. The Libertarian Party became official party in 2018.
Oh, nice.
And in 2019, I crossed the state supporting local candidates. So I actually talked the talk and then walked the walk. Mm-hmm. We had 107 victories in New York State in 2019. We had 107 people on a Libertarian line. We went from zero to 107 in 1 year. And then New York State said, oh yeah, we can't have that. We're going to change all the rules and throw you off the ballot. So we then went from 107 to zero. So that's what happened. But yes, my point is top of the ticket should support bottom of the ticket. Top of the ticket has the best chance to get press. Mm-hmm. Bottom of the ticket has the best chance for victory. So why don't we combine the two and we get more victories?
That makes sense. So for a lot of our listeners, because we have audiences who are very staunch libertarians. We have people who are very staunch liberals, people who are very staunch conservatives, and a whole bunch of people all in between. And I would say probably 90% of our people are all in between. And we throw around the word liberty and libertarian quite a bit in here. And we talk about big L versus little L, you know, party versus philosophy, things like that. For those people who are kind of new to the idea or the word libertarianism, let's break down, you know, where we're talking about the philosophy of libertarianism versus the Libertarian Party, like the National Libertarian
Party.
When
it comes to talking to normies, our philosophy is irrelevant. It means nothing. They don't care at all. They don't care about liberty. You ask someone about liberty, they go, liberty, what, you're 1776? They do that. They're about freedom. They go, I'm free. I went to work today. They don't get it at all. It's not even something I even talk about. What I talk about is two things that people tend to get. One is an actual solution to fix a problem. That's number one. Or number two, the idea of breaking up monopolies, right? And people like that idea. Oh, break monopoly up. Great, great. Oh, wonderful. So you want to break up the monopoly of government too, right? Yeah, that one too. Monopoly's not good no matter what. Government is also monopoly. So can we break up that monopoly? Can we also let other people have opportunities to do things besides only government? And then they'll start talking. But then I say, I'm not getting rid of government. What I'm doing is I'm providing another option. And if my plans are correct, if I'm right, then people will go with my other private options. And the government option has two choices. Mm-hmm. Compete against the private option and become better. Okay. Or go away because the community has stepped up to solve the problem. Either of those are good ideas. But if I'm wrong and your communism is correct and I've been wrong my entire life, fine. Then I'll be proven wrong. You're right. Go Stalin. Right? Whatever. I mean, that's right? So, but I believe I'm right. So I'm not afraid of that bargain. Right? I'm not worried about playing that game because I know I'm going to win. But if I'm wrong and Stalin was right the whole time, then okay, I'll be proven right. I mean, I'll be proven wrong and we all wear five Mao hats. Whatever.
So give us an example of where we could see this in actual society.
Sure, absolutely. One of the things I talked about was the idea of child gardens, right? One of the issues we have across the state in general.
I grow and cultivate children at my place. So.
There we go. You're supposed to. Some way to grow them. Some way to grow them. Yes. Fertilizer works very well.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point I'm bringing up is a child garden is the idea of, let's say, okay, Remington, you have kids, right?
So far.
There we go. As of now.
We'll see how they act over the next couple of years. But
do you ever take them out to, say, a park or something? You ever do that?
Occasionally, yes.
There we go. Great. So one day you can take your kids to the park. I have two kids. One of mine is 12. And I say, hey, Remington, do me a favor. Can you take my daughter with you to the park? And if you go, yeah, sure, Larry, I'll take it. Great. I said, look, here's $5 if you want to give him some ice cream or something, whatever is appropriate. Here's $5. Are you okay? You go, yeah, $5 is fine, Larry. It's all good. You take my daughter and you go to the park. Do you require any form of license for that? No. Just two people make an agreement. You take my kid, you go to the park, we're good. Done. Why can't we simply replace you with any nonprofit? A local church, a VFW, a Knights of Columbus. Insert the nonprofit you want. And if you want to make an agreement with that nonprofit, you may. And people say, wait a minute, is that a thing? Yes, well, what happened now if I drop it off, my kid off someplace, Child Protective Services will come by and say, how dare you drop your kid off at an unlicensed place? And if I'm at all fighting in family court, I probably may even lose custody of my kid. The state will come down and devastate me if I would dare drop my kid off at some places unlicensed. The problem is licensed childcare is very expensive. It's so expensive that if you are a single mom in this country mm-hmm. and you have two kids, you would be a fool to go to work. And we get mad and say, these lazy moms, they're not lazy, they're smart. The system is set up that if they actually go to work, they will lose money, they will make less money, have less benefits, and spend less time with their children. That's our current system. So why would they work? Doesn't make any sense. Of course they're not doing it. It's dumb to do so.
Right.
We've told them to not do it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But if you create a child garden, what does that mean? That means if you want to, you can drop your kid off at the local church. Many years ago, many churches had daycares. Less of them have them now because they've been regulated out of the market. So what does it do? Does it destroy childcare? No, there is still licensed childcare. If you don't trust your local church or local VFW or local Knights of Columbus, give your kid to your licensed childcare. It doesn't go away. It provides a secondary option for you and the community may step up. So that's one idea that you could do.
So in that case, it would be more like a certification rather than a license, given that license is really just another word for permission and certification 100%. Is more for verification, essentially.
And what you see right now in New York City specifically, and most cities, but heavily in New York City, because New York City has a very high black population. And a very common thing when I was a kid growing up in the Bronx is many of the kids, particularly black girls and Puerto Rican girls when I was a kid, they would braid hair on the stoop and make money. It was mm-hmm. a common thing. Now in New York State, to get a license to braid hair, it'll cost you about $20,000. So what? Yes, about $20,000. You have to go to college for it, believe it or not. It's insanely stupid. So what actually winds up happening is now you have a way of harassing young women of color. Mm-hmm. So what's in my Democratic state, which is supposed to support young women of color, is literally now harassing them. So to your point, why don't I instead have certification versus licensing. And the average person doesn't know the difference. Let me explain the difference. Licensing means if you don't have the sheet of paper, I will punish you or put you in jail or fine you or both. I will in some way punish you. Mm-hmm. You may not do the thing for money. You may do it for free all day long. You just may not do it for money in the state. That's what licensing means. Certification means I must publicly say that I'm certified by the state or public announce that I am not. And it is now the consumer's job to decide if that certification matters or not. And people always go, well, Larry, that means the world won. We'll all die. I give you a very good example of this, which is health food stores. If you go to most health food stores or natural food stores, the vast majority of the documentation and I'm sorry, the vast majority of the products in their stores are not FDA approved. They don't have the official stamp. They have a, hey, not approved by the FDA stamp on the products, right? Where are all the deaths from health food stores? There aren't any. It's a fantasy. In fact, the reality of it is the healthiest people you know shop at those stores. The healthiest people you know are buying non-FDA approved products, and the sickest people you know are buying FDA approved products. That's a guarantee. You know this to be true. Anyone listening knows it to be true. So the idea that all of a sudden the world's going to end, and to be clear, in natural food stores, these are parents putting products into their children's bodies on a daily basis. Where are all the deaths from the children? So I give you an actual example of how it actually works. When I was a kid in the Bronx, we didn't have childcare the way they have it now at all. So our neighbors watched the kids. Mm-hmm. We walked home from school. And I grew up in the South Bronx in the 70s. Not the best neighborhood. And I walked home from school and our neighbor watched us. And her price was food. I'm not joking. All the moms would bring tons of food to her house. That's how she got paid. Tons of food. Her fridge was packed. She had a separate freezer packed full of food. So she fed the kids. She fed her family. She didn't have to cook ever. She had nothing but chow and her entire food and all the time. That's how she got paid.
Huh. There you go.
Yep. We rail on the FDA pretty often here because I work with the FDA in my other life.
Doesn't work so for speak. The FDA.
No, I work with the FDA.
Has to deal with the FDA. With them.
And they are.
Look, I want to be very clear. If you work for the government, I'm not mad at you. You got to pay your bills. The system is the system. If you got to work for the government, pay your bills. Pay your bills is far more important than anything else. Pay your bills. So I'm saying, I want you to pay your bills. Be stronger, better, faster, so you can help me fight against the government. That's all I'm saying. So pay your bills.
Fight it from the inside. All right. So we've had lots of news items come up recently that have been really annoying about expanding government. Things like the IRS hiring a bunch of new agents.
What could go wrong?
Right? What could go wrong? Especially when a bunch of them need to be armed. No, what could go wrong with that, right?
Yeah. Nothing at all. What could go wrong with 87,000 poorly armed, poorly trained armed people with a license to kill? Hey, what guys, could go wrong? Nice. I don't know. What could go wrong?
It's for your Sicherheit. It's for your safety, okay?
So it is.
Just always. Chill out a little bit.
Absolutely.
It's for your own good.
Just accept it. Yes. No, the reality of what I love is that this is how we're going to cut down, you know, on fraud and stuff. That's what they say. We're going to, this is going to get those rich people. Cause you know, this time we've been looking for the rich people. This is the time we're going to get them this time. Oh, trust them. If you actually want to make this work, it's a very simple thing. If you actually cared, simplify the tax code.
Yeah.
That's it. If you actually gave a damn about people paying their fair share, if you actually cared about that, and that's not necessarily a bad goal as far as goals go. I mean, I'd rather fair share be zero, but fine, whatever. If you're going to go down that road, no worries. Then make it, here's how it works. However much money you make, 10% comes to the mob. That's my VIG, right? The mob gets 10%. That means government. The mob gets 10%. That's how it works. You want to do work on the street, you got to pay the mob. That's it. I got you. That's why I live in a kleptocracy. Fine. So that's where I live. So take my 10% off the top and we're good. And leave me alone and make sure nobody firebombs my storefront, right? And we're good. But if we did just that, how much money you make times 10%, give it to the government, everyone pays their fair share. Now, some people say, wait a minute, Larry, it's not fair because people are poor. Okay, no worries. If you still care about that, make a cap, whatever that cap is, 30,000, 40,000, 25,000. I don't know what the cap is, but you make a cap. Sake of argument, 30,000, whatever the number is. $30,000 and under, no tax at all. None. $30,001, you pay on that $1 and on. by default, the wealthy will pay more, right? Mm-hmm. And the people who aren't making this money will pay less, some will pay none. So now you've solved the issue that the left often worries about, which is let's help the poor, done, issue solved. And you solve the right who go, oh, I don't want to have this excessive tax. You got 10%, that's it. And why 10%? The church takes 10%. You take it more than God. Come on. Don't take more than God. That's what I'm saying. If you 10%, you consider yourself the God king anyway. So take as much as God because you think you are a God. It's fine. Take as much as God takes. It's fine.
You know, it is amazing to me how much they want to take more than that. How yes, no, 10% is not enough. We need to increase this. We need to have, and just to make sure you're paying more than that, we need more IRS agents. It's yes, only
and
for the rich, though.
If you make it that simple, you would need a whole lot less IRS agents, wouldn't you?
Well, so I've been waiting for my tax refund, and I was expecting some money from it, and I finally got paid yesterday.
Nice.
Or 2 days ago, I think I called you, Chase.
Yeah, you called me. I think it was 2 days ago.
So about 2 days ago, I got paid.
Well, you were so happy you called them. I like that.
Well, it was more irritation because they paid me half. Reasons were you made mistakes on this, you didn't calculate. And there was like this big list of mistakes, which like I don't think I'm like really bad at math. I mean, I have some education in math, especially like tax math. And maybe I did make some mistakes, but they're just like, yeah, we're just going to wait a really long time and then pay you half. And I was like, and I tried calling them a number of times. They don't even answer the phone. You know, when you like call a place and you
sit
on the phone.
That's impossible. They have 87,000 new people to answer the phone.
Well, you know, you sit for like, you're like, okay, I know I'm going to be on the phone all day, you know?
Right.
But they had a message on there that's like, hey, we're not answering calls. And then it just hangs up on you. I'm like, come on, man. Like, simplify, make it simple. Like you said, make it simple so nobody can make mistakes. Because if you need software or you need an accountant or some professional to be able to pay your taxes, just that alone is an indicator that it's way too complicated.
And not just that. Why does the government care where you spend your money? Right? Right. The second you simplify it, the reason why they won't simplify the tax code, and because everyone knows that's how it will work. So why won't they do it, Larry? If you're so super smart, Larry, why won't they do what you're saying? Because then they can't control us. If you simplify the tax code, you can't change tax law. That will then force you or push you into doing the certain things they want you to do. But more importantly, then there's no value in lobbyists. The vast majority of lobbyists that are in the in DC now are to deal with tax issues, right? To somehow get a tax break, tax refund, tax this, tax that. At least half the lobbyists go away. So if the lobbyists go away, how am I going to get paid? I mean, look, I became a congressman so I can grip the system and become a millionaire. That's the reason why I became a congressman, not because I care. That's for chumps. So I came here to become a multimillionaire.
Right.
So I can't get my lobby cash if we start changing the tax code. So Larry, why don't you shut up? Because I'm trying to make my money here. I'm trying to get the bag. I don't care about you. And that's what you're seeing right now in most governments, sadly, is most people are in a world where they're saying, let's keep grifting while the grift is good. That's why they're not changing anything.
Right. And it makes sense because, you know, when you look at the way for government to do incentives, it's either to punish you or to give you back of something they stole.
Yeah.
And that's like the only two ways. I mean, correct me if you guys think I'm wrong, but as I understand this, the only two ways that government can incentivize people, to threaten you or to give you back something they already took.
Well, remember though, the country as a whole, maybe even the planet as a whole, has a massive case of Stockholm syndrome. So the government just puts you in a closet, locks you away, makes you poop in a bucket for 6 months, throws you some stale bread. Then all of a sudden says, opens the door and says, here's a strawberry. You go, oh, it's a strawberry. Thank you, government. You are so amazing for this delicious strawberry. Okay, good. Back in the closet, close. That's what we do. That's kind of who we are right now. So yeah, it's bad. You're correct.
things like what just passed with the
I got Remington to crack up. I like that. That's good. Got him to crack up. Good.
He bringing a tear to his eye. But,
even before we started recording, Larry's just cracking jokes this whole time. And I'm like, all right, I got to get through this logistical thing without just like laughing my head off. You know, we're trying to.
No. I was going to break you, Remington. You had no choice. I was going to break you.
Just getting started. That's it.
I was going to break you either way.
Yeah, things like we had the EV tax credit just come just get passed. Things like that, where it's like, okay, the government was really trying to control you, just like Larry was saying.
Yes.
The government is trying to control you to purchase more EVs. Personally, I like the idea of EVs. I think they're really cool.
I do too.
I like going really fast. Do. Okay.
I agree.
For people in the back, electrical vehicles, is that what we're...
Electrical vehicles. Yeah. EVs are vehicles
like
that don't use
too.
Gas.
I like them too. I just don't want to force people to buy
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
But I like them too.
It's like, if they're cool enough on their own, we shouldn't have to incentivize people to get them.
Right.
Personally, correct. I think it's cool. I'd love a Tesla. But, I mean, well, why do we need a tax credit to get people to buy?
There's a better way to incentivize without, as Remington said, the punishment piece, right?
Yep.
If you actually care about the EVs, if you actually did, the first thing you do in California or New York, as I've already proposed, the first thing you do is you bring in nuclear power, right? Mm. Nuclear power is cheap, a green power. In North Country now with Gen 4 in New York State, we could put 3 nuclear power plants in our North Country, which is by our Adirondack Mountains. No NIMBY issues, no not in my backyard issues. The people in that area want the new cool jobs. It'll bring in jobs, it'll bring in industry, and they're happy to have it. No one's going to fight. Most of it's government land. You lease out the government land and allow private companies to build it. If you have government build it, it's 45 years for one plant. You instead lease out the land, so they're paying every year. Now, if that company is paying every year, they're going to push this thing to get built. It'll get built within a year or two. So I get 2 or 3 nuclear power plants built, and the next thing you do as soon as it happens is you then do a very simple thing. Any gas station, any current gas station that puts a charging charging plant there, no property tax for the first 3 to 5 years. No property tax. All gone.
Oh, they'd all do it instantly. Overnight.
100%. Absolutely. They do it. Just no property tax for say 3 to 5 years. Whatever the number is, right? If you put charging stations in your gas station. Second piece, if you want to build new ones, you actually lease out naming rights to the charging stations. So now if Google wants to drop $1 billion on a bunch of charging stations, they're all called Google stations, right? Or they're all called Exxon stations. Let Exxon make some cash. Exxon, make a bunch of stations. Exxon Mobil charging stations. You get naming rights for 10 years, build them all out. Doesn't matter, whatever you like.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.